Comfy.
All right.
Oh, shit.
Welcome to Desert Oil Podcast, episode 006. As ever, this week, I'm Greg.
I'm Richard.
And I'm Tommy.
Good. This week, we have a couple of new features. We've got, starting off, reading, watching, playing. We've got a new news section. And we've also got Rise and Fall, which we'll explain when we come to it.
Aye, it's probably the best.
Cool. So, good to go?
Nice to do that. Yeah. Aye.
You want to ding us out?
Oh, aye, oh, aye, oh, aye, oh.
Welcome to reading, watching and playing. I don't know why I've done it like that. I'm excited, that's all. I've not done it for a while.
Yeah, that's true, why is that?
Well, you can maybe explain that, Greg.
That's because last week we had a week off because we were on holiday or Easter.
Roughly translated to...
I forgot to bring the microphone.
Yes, you did. Yeah. So we're back and we're going to do reading, watching, playing. I'm going to go first and I've picked up watching again.
surprise, eh?
Before I go into what I have been watching, I've got a couple of honourable mentions I want to go for that I've watched in the weeks since we've recorded last. First one, the SpongeBob Sponge Out of Water film.
Is it good?
I quite liked it. It's not as good as the first one. There's some funny bits. There's like the jokes in these kids' films where they target them like deliberately to adults.
Aye.
There, and they paid off quite well. It was alright. If you like SpongeBob, go watch it. Mm. If you don't, get fucked.
Go watch something else, like My Little Pony.
Yeah.
That's all I could think of.
Burn.
Burn.
Next one, what I watched, Zero Dark Thirty last night, which was pretty cool.
Catherine Zero Dark Thirty is a good film.
Really, really good. Yeah,
it's
I really enjoyed that.
Really long, though.
Oh, aye, yeah.
And really in depth.
Yeah, I started watching it at like 9:30 and went to bed at about 4 this morning.
I remember I watched that at my dad, and it was even my dad, and we watched it, and I really liked it. And then we gave it to Nicola's dad, and he was like, "Do you want to watch it?" And I was like, "No, I can't watch it twice."
No.
It's a good film, but.
I've lost years of money for an idiot. And I've played a couple of DS games that I bought from the DS store recently called Mutant Muds and Gunman Clive. Mutant Muds is...
Gunman Clive.
It's great, man. It's really, really good. Both of them take a lot of influence from NES games. Gunman Clive takes... like pretty much direct influence from Mega Man, which is why I liked it so much. And Mutant Muds takes bits from like Mario, Mega Man, and the little sort of shooters for NESs and stuff like that.
Well, like scrolling shooters.
Yeah, scrolling shooters. So like there are
like our type of that type is flying.
That's it. Yeah, like
1942.
Not quite. Like it's like. Like side scrolling,
oh, right,
and there's loads of little puzzles and blah blah blah. Both really good. And Gunman Clive's only £2. It only takes about an hour to complete, but
so fun.
£2. Yeah, aye. Really good. But what I have been watching, actually watching, Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul.
And if you're a fan of Breaking Bad, you have to watch it. Like, there's no excuse not to watch it if you're a fan of Breaking Bad. If it had come out before Breaking Bad, you could have even had Breaking Bad as a spin-off of Better Call Saul, such as the similarity in the way that both of them are shot, both of sets of dialogue, characters, situations. They're obviously made by the same guy, but still, like it's like seamless transition,
yeah,
from the way that Breaking Bad was filmed and everything. And so it follows Saul. Saul Goodman, who's in Breaking Bad series, and it's him as he started out as a lawyer called Jimmy McGill, and he's trying to build himself up in the law world, trying to get himself like his own law practice and stuff like that. And he's a bit of a shyster, and he manages to get himself into a couple of hairy situations, and because of those hairy situations he starts to basically lead on to the stories of how Breaking Bad came to be. But it's Bob Odenkirk, the guy who plays Jimmy McGill / Saul Goodman, he's so likable. He's just really, really likable.
He talks with his hands all the time.
That's it. Yeah.
Apparently he's like that in real life. Like, that's not a thing he puts on. Apparently he's like 100 miles an hour all the time, and he just plays himself.
It's totally engaging, though.
It's really good.
Does it? Yeah, and it like makes you pay attention more to what he's saying when he's using his hands and,
yeah,
and stuff like that. And
I remember talking to you about this a few weeks ago, and we were saying like it's a show that deals with pretty boring subject matter, but makes it really interesting.
Absolutely.
Makes it funny.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of the dialogue is law based, but you're sitting there thinking to yourself, "I'm actually following this because they're not making it boring.
Yeah.
His brother who's in it, who is a guy who plays his older brother, who's got some weird affliction where he feels like he has electromagnetic sickness, so he can't be exposed to like sunlight or
technology
in general. So he always makes Saul put his phone and his watch and stuff in his letterbox outside before he goes into his house. And who else is there? Mike is back in it.
Yeah, Mike from Breaking Bad, aye.
Mike from Breaking Bad is back in it, and it sort of details how him and Saul met each other in the first place. It seems like there's going to be a few character reprisals as well, like, so bad guy wise.
The thing is, what I quite liked about it as well was, like, see when they first announced Better Call Saul as a spin off to Breaking Bad, because I couldn't get off of Breaking Bad when it was out, I was thinking, I'm going to definitely watch this when it comes out, but at the same time I thought, it's going to fail.
Yeah.
It's totally not going to work.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this isn't going to be as exciting, as involving as...
No, absolutely.
Because that was probably, apart from like probably The Sopranos, that was probably like the most engaging TV show I've ever watched. Like
Breaking Bad, yeah.
The one I was most invested in, like, for the same could be said for a lot of people, I would imagine.
Yeah. Have you guys both been watching it?
Yeah,
I've seen the first two.
Yeah, like, what did you think of them so far?
Yeah, they were pretty good.
Yeah,
I wasn't against it, but I've got the same kind of feeling as Greg, that I think, like, I've not got great high hopes for it, so it'll probably be.
It does get better, because I watched the first episode and I'm like, I wanted to like it, so like that was like half the battle. But I watched the first episode and thought it's not quite as engaging as I thought. See, after the first episode, it just gets better. Are you up to date with it?
Yeah.
No spoilers of that, but it's like it's just really good.
Yeah, time of recording, like, we've got the last episodes out of today. The series today.
Yeah,
that's it, yeah. So that I'm quite looking forward to going and see how they wrap up the series or the season or whatever you want to call it. But I think it's really, really good. It's a different spin on the Breaking Bad universe. As you guys said, both said, I had the same opinion, to be honest. Is like, when I watched Breaking Bad, Saul was very much just a sort of ancillary character who he'd come across every now and again. It didn't really matter what he was doing, blah blah blah. He was alright. I didn't pay much attention. It was all about what
he was
great
in that, though. He was still great.
Oh yeah, great. So there's Saul again.
Yeah, and then you just kind of, right, okay, we'll get back to the Heisenberg stuff. And now that it's a
fuck off, Saul.
But now that you get back to Jimmy McGill working his way up to being Saul Goodman, I think it's way more interesting than it should be.
Yeah, I agree.
And it
works better than what it should, I think.
Absolutely.
But I agree. That's great. I'd recommend it as well, even though it's
That's right, you can recommend it. I'll recommend it too.
Good. So I'm playing, so that means, Tommy, you are reading. Surprise, surprise.
Yes.
Oh, I know.
Very surprising. Right, I've been reading. I got this omnibus again. A different one this time.
Same one, I was going to say. Don't do that again.
It's Geoff Johns's Geoff Johns Green Lantern Run, Volume 1. And it's the first of like three volumes that's going to come out. These big, massive omnibus editions are like 1,200 pages a pop.
Shit, fucking hell.
It was like an 8-year run.
Must be heavy as shit.
Yeah, it's quite heavy. It's not an on-the-bus read. It's more a second sitting.
Take an hour at a table.
So I've played my way through that. I've just finished that. And it's awesome biscuits. It's really good.
It's awesome biscuits. So when was it? Is it like a reprint, you're saying?
It's the Green Lantern run that he did. It's 8 years long. It's just recently finished. So it's like, it includes Rebirth, where they reintroduce the Hal Jordan character. It's got the first five issues of Green Lantern Core, Recharge, which is reintroducing the core. And it's also got like the first 25 issues of the ongoing series as well. And it culminates in the Sinestro Corps War.
So if you read all of that, would that be you up to date with the 52 stuff?
No. There's another two volumes at the back of that. No, there's one volume at the back, and then I think half of the third volume is going to be still pre-52.
Right.
And then the second half of that is going to be like new 52 stuff.
That's a lot of Green Lantern.
Yeah. To be honest with you, though, that sounds like a decent thing. That sounds like a decent thing for me, because I've never really known where to start with the Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And because of that, I've sort of always shied away a little bit.
It's quite intimidating.
Absolutely, because there's so much Green Lantern stuff. But reading that, would that give you a sort of a condensed history of all things Green Lantern.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's this is where it kind of restarted. Like, Green Lantern was just, it wasn't the big massive franchise that it is now. When you look at Green Lantern books now, you've got loads of spin-off titles, two main titles, and stuff like that. But it was still, well, it was just initially just Green Lantern and then Green Lantern Corps, and then it builds up from there.
Aye.
And it reintroduces Hal Jordan as the new Green Lantern, the most important Green Lantern. And you've still got all the other Green Lantern characters like Guy Gardner and John Stewart and Kyle Rayner as well. And they're kind of like, they're not ignoring the stories that came before, and they do touch on them and they do highlight them and they do reference them to new readers, but you hit the ground running. Like, you get everything that you need in the first few issues.
Oh, cool.
And you just take it for there and just hit the ground running after that. So anything after that is like, you're along for the ride while these new things get introduced.
Sweet.
Aye, that sounds good to me.
That's cool.
I read Rebirth. I thought Green Lantern were going to get involved in this. Read Rebirth and I had really no idea what was going on. Like, I remember reading it and thinking, this is meant to be really good, but I don't quite know what's happening. Obviously, I know Hal Jordan comes back and all that sort of stuff, but after that, I was like, that's enough Green Lantern for one day. I'll move on.
I've still got Blackest Night sitting there, and I'm kind of like, am I going to know what's going on in this? Because I know who Green Lantern is. I don't really know much about him, though, so am I going to go into this book knowing fuck all about him, or should I just go ahead and read it? And yeah, I don't know. I've still yet to
start. Have you read the Man Without Fear yet?
Did
Tommy not recommend you that like 2 years ago? Daredevil.
The Daredevil. I think it was maybe about three years ago. And no.
No, we haven't yet.
Just wait for the series to come out now. There's no point reading the book.
I've been playing the long game with this one, yeah. It'll be a TV series at some point.
If it's good enough, they'll make a film.
I was well into Daredevil back then as well, but. Anyway, that's
clearly.
No, I really, really was, and then I bought it, and I kind of just stopped being into Daredevil. But this isn't my section. I'm hijacking it now. Tell me.
Yeah, so it's amazing. The art's so good as well. On the big, oversized kind of pages as well, it just like bounces off the page. It's amazing. Like, the artists they've got on it are really high caliber. Like, the guy who did Rebirth, Ethan Van Sciver. He's like so meticulously detailed, like his artwork's fantastic and I'm loving it. It's a really good read. Like, I've read it, some parts of it before, but to get it all in the one.
See, that's what always kind of puts me off, is the fact that people will be like, oh yeah, read this volume and then these issues and then this volume, and it's try to get your hands on it all.
Mm.
Like, if it is that good, you do buy the first couple of volumes, you want to then buy more and more and more. But if you get it all in one package, then quality, you might have to check that out. I take it as going to be quite pricey though.
I paid £60 for it, but I pre-ordered it.
Right.
You can get it for like £55.
That's actually not that bad
for 12 for the content and the bigger pages. You're getting like 9 trade paperbacks.
Aye.
So about that's 90 quid worth of,
because they're about a pair each anyway. Usually.
Yeah. Exactly. So what was the title of the game? Was like the Green Lantern.
Green Lantern by Geoff Johns.
Just
the
right. That's right. Right. Okay.
Cool.
Right.
Recommend it.
I highly recommend it.
Good.
This has gone well so far.
Yeah, I know. Sounds going to go wrong. Playing, what do you want to hear about? I've been playing quite a bit. GTA Heist, Hardline, Battlefield, or Dragon Age? I could probably do all three because I've not.
Right, well, I'll tell you what, I'll start you off with Battlefield Hardline, because I got a text from you earlier saying that it's so intense it made you sweat through a t-shirt.
It did die. I will be honest, I've been playing a lot of Battlefield Online. I haven't even touched a single player.
Really?
You don't buy Battlefield for that. It's like buying Pac-Man for the graphics. You don't do that.
Right.
You buy it for online play. I played Battlefield 3 Battlefield Bad Company 2 and Battlefield 4 quite a bit on the PlayStation when it first came out, and I thought, I'm not too bad at this. Battlefield Hardline I bought, and man, I am shit at it. Like, I was really shit at it.
Are you shit in comparison to other people online?
I'm also shit at just being able to move. And my aiming was shocking. I'm used to it now, I'm not too bad at it now, but man, it is proper intense. Like, it's, you can have like 64 people all playing on one map, like 32 a side. And you have really good game types. Like, there's a game type that I play that's basically like, you have two teams, cops and robbers. Each team's got four classes. Essentially, it's like mechanic, medic, enforcer, and like a sniper. And it's called Blood Money. And what it is in the middle of the map, there's a big pile of money. Mm. And you both have to run to it. And you can pick up 10 bits of money at a time, so like 10 units of money. And then you have to get the money back to your vault. And it's the first team that get 150 units of money wins. But you can also rob each other's vaults. So if one team say 130 and they've got 20 to go, you can actually go and rob their vote and take it back. And when you're carrying the money, you've got like a big rucksack on with all the money coming out of it. And if someone kills you, the money just like sort of flies away in the middle of the air and then lands on the ground, so you can go and pick it up. And it's just like, it doesn't let you stop. It's just proper, like, I was sitting about a foot away from my screen, just being like, come on! And like, got my headset on, and just, man, I'm just proper geek fest. I mean, this room that we're in now, when I'm playing Battlefield, stinks. It stinks like achievement and like concentration and just
fear and mayhem.
Man, honestly, I genuinely sweat through a t-shirt. I had to go and like change everything. It was fucking horrible. But yeah, I mean, like, I was playing last night for a couple of hours, almost 2 hours before I went to my bed. I went to my bed, shut my eyes, and all I could see was Battlefield. Yeah. It was just like it was going through my mind. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't relax. It's actually really bad for you, probably.
But you are saying as an effective method of weight loss, Battlefield Hardline.
But yeah, Battlefield Hardline. Yeah, definitely. If you could play Battlefield Hardline and be on a treadmill at the same time, man, you'd lose stones within days, because it is good. But yeah, I'd recommend it. Like I say, I don't know what single player's like, but I have heard that it's done in like episodes. It's like a TV cop show. So when you're playing it, it's like, coming up on Hardline. And you do it, and that episode ends on a cliffhanger, and then when you go to the next one, or you go away from playing it and come back, it's like, previously on Battlefield Hardline, and it shows you like all the... So that sounds quite cool.
It's a nice touch.
Yeah.
It's definitely something that would be needed to freshen up a multiplayer for something like Battlefield or Call of Duty, or something like
that. That's done with that's a single player, but the multiplayer done is done from like a sort of like a Sky News thing. Like when it's loading up, it's like some Sky News channel basically saying like, oh, there's been a raid
breaking news.
But it's like, oh, there's been a raid on the bank, and then you go in and play as like the robbers or the cops or whatever. But it's like, I noticed at the bottom when it's loading up, it's got like Sky 5 News. And it's just like, local shopkeeper says, it's got a quote from him, and it's just like, I seen men with guns, so I got the hell out of there. All right. I'm like, this is quality stuff. but yeah, I'd recommend it. It's actually really, really fun. But it's fun in the same way as FIFA. Like, if you keep getting killed, it's really frustrating.
Oh yeah, right, okay.
And if you are doing really well, you feel like a fucking god. You can't just sit
big
back.
Big sweaty god.
Big sweaty god. Big sweaty god. But yeah.
Nice.
As for GTA Heists, I have played far. I've got one to go. The main problem with the GTA Heists is the fact that we can't get four folk online at once, because you get like a bonus for completing the heists all in order with the same four players.
Alright.
And it's basically like texting folks saying, you're going to be on the night? Nah. Smashing. Great. We've only got three of us.
Alright, so it's really having to organise.
Yeah, that's the main downfall of it. You don't have to. But they've been quite fun. They're some of them are pretty good, some of them are just like average. Like, it's like one mission, for example, two folk have to dress as policemen and go to the police station and like get some evidence, where the other two folk have to go and like fucking blow up all this shit. And like, I was the guy at the police station, so as the other two folk have blown up all this stuff and getting chased, and that I'm literally in a car driving to the police station. I go in and they're like, oh, nice friend. And I'm like, no bad, there's evidence, sweet. And they get out and I'm like, that's it, that's all I do. But yeah,
you're an important part of that little machine.
Well, that is it. Cogging the machine. Basically, you also get a £10 million bonus if you do it all in order with the same crew on hardest setting and no one dies.
Oh yeah.
Once, which we were going to go for until the very first mission, I killed two of us by blowing up a car with a grenade launcher, and it landed on top of me, and then killed the guy next to me.
Nice.
But then after that, we never died. So because I died in that first mission, like, yeah.
Why don't you just start again?
I don't know. I never thought of that. And quite quickly, push for time, Dragon Age, I am 21 hours in, and I've only just figured out what I'm doing.
Man, I think I've completed, like, games twice.
In that time, yeah.
Like, big games,
kind
of arcade game.
I was speaking to my mate who gave me a loan of it, and he was like, oh, we've done this bit and this bit and this bit, and I'm like, no. I've never seen any of that. And it turns out I've done a lot more than what I should have done by a type. I've not moved the story on at all. I was just pissing up. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just walking about killing things for 21 hours.
So your character is going to be leveled up to fuck, and it's going to be a total monster when you go into the next.
Yeah, put it this way. It was like, oh, the recommended bit for the next bit of the story is level 4 and 7, and then my guy was like level 16.
47.
And I was like, right. So I was just walking about going, die. But to be honest, from what I have played of it and from what I have seen of it, it's actually really quite fun, even though I don't know a fucking thing what it's about. I've no idea what it's about.
But dragons
and rips in the sky and stuff and demons and that. But yeah, I recommend all three of them. But yeah. Battlefield get Battlefield.
Good. This has been some heavily recommended shit in this section. Awesome.
Cool, we're good?
Done.
Oh, where's the bell? Go and dang it out, Tommy.
Yeah. It's time for a couple of bulletins, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a new news section. Sounds like Morse code off that.
And then it's countdown.
If only the news started like that every time, that'd be good.
Shambles.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, this is a new section that we're going to do. We're just going to go over the news since like last time of recording. So we've got about two, three weeks worth of news stories that we can go over. Mm-hmm. And gentlemen, who would like to start? And what would you like to talk about? Cool, I'll start first.
Shaking heads all around.
Oh, no, wait, hey. Right, okay. Anchorman over here. Lex Luthor, Jesse Eisenberg pick revealed. What do we think about that?
Really like it,
yeah.
Personally, I really like it.
Looks the part.
Yeah, he looks bald.
He looks bald.
He looks bald. No, it was. Yeah. I'm feeling it. I'm getting a bit more warmed up to the idea of him being Lex Luthor.
This had a very much a sort of Heath Ledger playing the Joker feel to it when it was when that news came out initially.
Yeah, definitely.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Heath Ledger has broken that. Hitting casting thing.
Yeah.
As soon as you say, it's not going to work, everyone's like, Heath Ledger, play the Joker.
Yeah.
Oh.
Your argument's fucked now.
Yeah. But I was a bit, not concerned, I thought it was strange that he was cast as Lex Luthor to begin with anyway. Purely because of the age thing as well. Like, I always see Lex Luthor as being like an older man.
Kind of more in his prime.
Yeah.
But then isn't he like kind of misleading, like,
young,
old.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Isn't it maybe like a similar looking age to Superman? Hence the sort of like
probably.
I mean, in that case, Henry Cavill and Jesse Eisenberg, if you just put their faces next to each other, they could probably look
similar. Henry Cavill's got such a baby face.
Well, that's it. Well, Jesse Eisenberg doesn't exactly look like an old man.
The same,
so.
Kind
of. He doesn't now, he's got the hair.
Well, okay.
Okay, good. No, but I like it. I think it'll work.
Yeah, me too. I definitely think it'll work. But, you know, the proof needs to be in the pudding.
Yep.
Of Jesse Eisenberg's acting.
The Lex Luthor pudding.
That's the proof is in Lex Luthor's pudding.
The thing about Jesse Eisenberg is, as well, is like, I've never watched a film where I've not just went, it's Jesse Eisenberg being Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? He's very much
point.
Just
kind
that's
of... That's a good
point. Yeah.
I've never seen him act. Really
do you know,
act. Like, it's a other really than the same point. Kind of mannerisms and just the whole...
No, that's a good point. I actually... Up until like a year after Superbad came out and Zombieland came out, I actually thought that the guy that plays Evan in Superbad and Jesse Eisenberg were the same person.
Yeah, I think everybody.
I thought they were the same person.
I think it was pretty common. Yeah, I was definitely the same. Yeah,
someone should write a movie where they're twins.
Have they not done that?
I don't know.
Have they been in the same film before?
I don't know.
Write that down.
Oh my god. I suppose we could safely say that we're chomping at the bit to see if he's gonna do the deeds. So we'll move on to the next little new segment, and this time, no shaking heads, chaps. Who wants to launch in next?
Well, I would go next, but I haven't got any notes. This week,
Tommy.
I've got notes.
I have notes.
Okay, in like 2 or 3 days on April the 10th, the Daredevil series is going to premiere on Netflix. It's going to have all the episodes up all at once.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just going to be a weekly episode.
I think it's only 10.
How do you feel about it coming out all at once?
I'm for it, because then I can just kind of sit and just kind of... I wouldn't binge the whole thing in a day, but I can watch like 2 or 3 if I'm
there.
The opportunity is there if you want to watch another
I've quite liked going back to the Better Call Saul. I've quite liked Better Call Saul coming out once a week. Kind of keeps you up to date and you can speak to folk and be like, oh, what do you think's going to happen? Whereas if you watch it and I don't, and you can come along and be like, oh, you've seen it yet?
This happens at the end.
Dude, I know folk that do that and it's so annoying. Is it when Robin turns up?
In that film, wink, wink.
I've been guilty of that before.
Referencing a famous conversation between us when we were like, what about the end of Dark Knight Rises? And then Richard told Tommy it, and Tommy hadn't seen it.
Tommy being a huge Batman fan,
I should have seen it. It was out in the cinemas at that point. But I mean,
whose fault's it really, Tommy?
It's probably mine. But yeah, I haven't watched the Better Call of Saul over the last few weeks and everything. It's been cool where you have something to look forward to every week. But at the same time, if you're sitting there on like a Sunday night or whatever, and you want something to do before you go to work the next day, and just something to take your mind off going back, you think, oh, I'll watch an episode. No, I want it, but it's been on Tuesday. Can't do anything. Disappointed. Go to bed, and that's where Mondays are born.
Well, that's it, man. All you do is watch Netflix, and hang on it. That's it. You go to bed.
No, I'm saying Better Call Saul. If the new episode's not there, then I'm disappointed.
And then you just lie about, like.
But surely that's a sign of a good cliffhanger. Is it once you want to watch it?
Aye, but I want to watch it now.
The only thing I think about Daredevil, and I'm really looking forward to coming out. I wasn't actually that fussy up until about an hour ago when I watched the trailer. I think if I'll end up binging it, I think I might end up glazing over a lot of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you watch 5 hour stints of it and then talk about it later on, you'll forget bits. Because if you watch it week on week,
you can digest it. Yeah. But, I suppose after each view.
Yeah. But, I mean, each episode. One thing I will say that it's got going for it, which I'm looking forward to, is it Charlie Cox, the boy who plays him, isn't it?
I think that's correct.
Boardwalk Empire. After watching Boardwalk Empire, big fan of him. He's good in that, and he's good in Stardust as well. So I quite like the guy who's playing it.
Nice. Yeah.
Stardust's a good film, actually.
It looks crazy good. The fighting bits are like, they're choppy, and it's because it's in a trailer, and you just catch little flashes, but it looks top notch, high quality production.
Like, it looks more really like good. On par with like a film. For example, like if you watch like Flash or Arrow.
Arrow fighting's. That's alright.
Yeah, it's alright. It's TV fighting, that's it. Whereas I've read that there was rumours that they might introduce Daredevil from the series into the movies. Like, he might appear in Civil War, which is clever, which is the way it should be.
That's absolutely the way it should be, and I don't understand why TV studios don't think like that.
I know.
Just before we recorded this segment, reading the non-spoilery review where Den of Geek were saying that it's going to be the first series that's actually really tried to take it to the next level. That's an exciting prospect.
Definitely.
You can see like a TV character is going to be transcending into movies. That says a lot about the series.
Definitely. I think it'll add more weight to it as well, because it's like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. apparently is bringing in the Inhumans character, and what do you call them?
Oh, the Inhumans, yeah.
Aye, they're bringing them into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and they're going to be in the films and that. So again, that just brings the whole universe together.
Well, yeah, whereas, if you're like, a fan of the TV show, you see them and then you see them in a film, you're not like, who's that?
Who's that?
Oh, yeah, that's them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, that's what the opposite, it's got going for that than what, like, again, say Flash and Arrow have, is the fact that Flash has been like recast. So the Flash TV show has nothing to do with the Flash in the film. I think that's confusing, because I quite like the Flash TV show. That's what you're
going. I don't, apart from the obvious problems with kind of like getting actors to sign contracts that bind them to a character and a franchise for such a long time, like by the time you know like season one, season two, whatever, apart from those problems, I don't see why DC wouldn't want to do what Marvel are doing and just kind of say, well, this guy was good in the TV show, so we'll just make him in. We'll just put them in the film and then you get the TV audience will watch it and love it, and the people who didn't watch a TV show won't be confused because they don't know who the guy is.
That's the thing as well. You want to have them sort of stitched together. I mean, why would you not want to do that? Why would you not want to have a character that you can just represent on TV or in
film? You've already tested
and it works, right? So.
Yeah, and as you're saying, if they like him in the film, go watch a TV show. It's the same guy doing the same stuff that they can do in the TV show. Make you more excited for the film.
Now what's going to happen is when Justice League comes out and I watch it, I'm going to compare that Flash to the Flash on the telly.
Yeah,
and I'm going to be like, I like him.
I only met him for an hour and a half.
I've invested so much time into the TV character. I think DC have just fucked it up, to be honest. Marvel have just won that.
Yeah, DC have seemed like they've had some good ideas here, some good ideas there, but largely they're just cobbling together concepts and not really thinking about it in the long term.
That's the thing, actually, that would piss you off. Like, if you loved Arrow, but I love Arrow, and I've not watched Flash yet, but chances are good.
Flash is good. It's actually a film, movie, fucking hell.
But then if they put the actors who play them in the film and then the film bombs or the film shit, like that will piss me off. Like, I'll be like, fuck's sake, they could have made a better film than that, and they wasted all the quality.
That's true,
actors.
Right?
Like, that would piss you off.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly.
One, but, oh, sorry, on you go.
No.
I was just going to say one other thing that we've got talking about Marvel and DC is the fact that we've got images of footage of Deadpool.
Movie. Ryan Reynolds looking very suave.
Very, very suave, yeah. Have you seen it? He's like lying down.
Lying down on the bare rug like in front of the roaring fire.
Yeah.
They've got the tone very,
very
spot
Deadpool-y.
On. Very, yeah. Spot, on, very yeah. Spot on. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm just. Again, we've talked about this before. I'm not hugely knowledgeable or into Deadpool, so yeah. I'll take what they give me. Like, I'll just, that'll be what I base my opinion on as this film. However, I really hope it's not like the portrayal of Deadpool and Wolverine.
I doubt it will.
Like, I didn't like that.
They're going, but even from like you said, the tonality of that picture, it just seems like it's a big red and black suited guy on a bearskin rug in front of a fire.
Aye. I almost expected them to see like him like have his mask on and that, but it looks like he should be like he's wearing pants or something and that. That's what I thought. I just give him a pair of pants and a mask.
That's true. Aye, what else have we got? Arkham Knight's been delayed by 3 weeks.
That's
kind of it just makes me want it more, to be honest.
It does. To be honest, it's the same thing where now that they've said, oh, it's going to be delayed, Arkham Knight, I kind of not forgot about it, but I put it in the back burner and I'd accepted it was coming out. Now they've mentioned it again, even though it's bad news, essentially, I'm kind of like, yep, I'm more hyped about this now.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it also means that they've got longer to get it right.
That's right, and one of the things that they may potentially have got wrong about it is news that you were talking about the other day, which was that there's going to be Scarecrow missions that are PS4 exclusive.
I read this online, I don't know if it was like someone taking a piss, but they were saying like apparently some Scarecrow nightmare missions are going to be exclusive to PS4, which concerned me, because if they're exclusive to PS4, it means that it means that Scarecrow's not going to play as big a role in the film. Fucking hell, listen to me, I'm all over the place.
You don't know what you're
doing. It means that Scarecrow, well, I think anyway, it means that Scarecrow's not going to play as big a role in the game, which is concerning, because he's the one that's kind of, apart from the Arkham Knight, he's the one that's been kind of getting built up as his epic return after.
It might well just be a case of previous disappointments in that department, where you're sort of thinking to yourself, oh sweet, another new bad guy. Oh no, it's the Joker again.
Yeah,
and I
hope they don't go that route.
I hope
that way. If it's the Joker again, then you just kind of just say to Warner Brothers, right, fuck you, never buying a game that you deliver again. Just in protest of that you can't keep having the fucking Joker.
He sells it, man.
He does sell, but you can't just rely on
it. He can still be in it. It doesn't have to be the mastermind.
They should just reference it, make it a bit more subtle. Okay, we bet here. Who do you think the Arkham Knight will be?
Oh, there's lots of different theories.
Two that I think might be possible. Mm-hmm. I think the Arkham Knight might turn out to be Batman, right? And Scarecrow gives him some fear gas, and the Arkham Knight is what Batman fears himself becoming, right?
Right. Okay, that's interesting.
An interesting one, but it's again
a bit meta.
Fighting the whole thing. It's not there. I don't know why. There's a sneaking suspicion. I think that the Arkham Knight might be his dad, and I don't know why. It's because in the trailer, his dad's like talking to his son, saying like, "Oh yeah, don't spend your money on this and that." And they've referenced Batman's dad in the trailers already. I think the Arkham Knight is Batman's dad.
I'm not convinced by that one. I'm more convinced that it could be your first idea. But then going on that, I reckon it'll be a robot. I reckon somebody will be controlling its actions, speaking through it. If the Arkham Knight does speak, I'm sure the Arkham Knight does speak.
Probably speaks. I don't know. I try and stay away from, like, I watched the first gameplay trailer, but based on actual gameplay or something, whatever it was, the first kind of sneaky trailer. I don't like watching trailers that much, because I think it just
takes away from it.
They're spoiling a lot now these days, but
they give away a lot in trailers now, don't they?
Yeah. I reckon robot though is someone that you're not quite expecting to be controlling it, or they might just do a straight down the line, it's a robot and it's the Scarecrow controlling it, and he's feeding all of Batman's deepest, darkest fears and anxieties into this
night,
and that is portrayed as being completely and utterly unbeatable for Batman because it's essentially him.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole. It's he fears himself becoming.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is Azrael.
Or the Joker.
Or the Joker, right.
Tommy?
I don't know. I think it would have to be, if I was going on like ability, like of his villains, like who could potentially actually be in a suit, I would have to say Hush.
They never quite resolved Hush in Arkham City.
No, they didn't, and it was kind of like a wink and a nod and I see you soon.
Aye,
very much, yeah. Between the two of them.
A wink and a nod and hey, I'll see you soon.
I'll see you soon, buddy. But even then, I'm not convinced to that either, to be honest. I don't know. Aye. It would be kind of cool if it was just kind of like a surprise, shocking character or even a new character.
I would take a new character.
If it was mysterious and they dropped like little kind of bits of information about as Batman's like, because he's a great detective, right. He's the world's greatest detective, he's going to try and work out who this guy is, so maybe that's like part of the game and you have to try and like unlock the mystery.
Maybe.
And then you have to kind of solve.
I'd be up for that.
Clues and stuff like that.
I think I'd feel a little bit cheated if they ended the Arkham series with the whole bad guy is actually someone they've made up.
Aye, but if it's just like if you don't know who it is and then it's the end and then there's the reveal when you beat him and it's some guy you don't know, then it's like just gonna fall flat.
That's absolutely. What I mean now.
No, I think I can't imagine them. Or I really, really hope that they're not that short-sighted as to say like let's end on that note, because there's no way you can end at like at such an epic arc as but the Arkham series in something so tenuous and vague.
Turns out to be like Clive James, ex-tennis champion or something like
that. Yeah,
aye, I'm exactly. Here at Grange Gotham's tennis court, I got shot down. You're like, oh good, the fuck is this?
That's the prequel part to Arkham Asylum.
DLC is, you playing as Clive James. I don't know who Clive James is, I made him up.
He's Arkham's tennis champion.
Yeah, there you go. Arkham's tennis champion.
Gotham's tennis champion.
There's not much competition.
No, there's not really. Time for another piece of news, I think. What else have we got left? Tommy, anything you want to touch on?
Yeah. The big kind of spring summer crossover blockbuster events that are happening in the Marvel and the DC Comics universes, like this, well, one's already started, DC's has already started. They're particularly noteworthy because, well, that basically it's going to be, you know, the big crossover events, it's the big
whole universe.
Whole universe is involved, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it spins out and they do other books and,
yeah, and, it's and a it costs you a fortune.
It costs you an absolute fortune. Gets me every time. So DC's is going to be called Convergence and Marvel's is going to be called Secret Wars. And I think I heard about Marvel's first. I think they started dropping hints about theirs first, but theirs doesn't start till a little bit later on. Yeah, I think theirs starts next month in May and DC's has already started. But basically, DC's is like a villain. I don't want to spoil anything, but a villain, like a cosmic villain.
Brainiac.
It is actually.
Oh, right, there you go. Standard.
Screw you, DC.
Is like collecting cities from different universes, alternate universes, and different timelines and different points in time. So basically, and he's going to collect them all in a world. So all the inhabitants of these cities are all going to mix and mingle and stuff. So he's picking like important, relevant parts and points in DC's history and or their alternate universes and putting it all in the one.
I'm rooting for Brainiac now. That sounds great
cool,
idea.
So basically, it's making like a highlights reel.
You get like, yeah. So you get like Gotham City circa Nightfall. It's going to be one of them, and there'll be like pre-52 stuff. Loads of that. Pre-Zero Hour stuff, loads of that.
This actually sounds really smart.
Nice.
When they take all the big event in.
Mondo Brainiac.
Marvel's is two universes are going to collide, like the Ultimate Universe, the Ultimates and stuff like that, and the main 616 universe are going to collide, and then there's going to be one world, and this world is going to be broken up into little territories, and each territory is going to be an event or a specific crossover from Marvel's history.
So it's the same idea.
It's exactly the same thing.
It's amazing.
So you're going to have the Civil War region and you're going to have like a Planet Hulk region as well. But they're going to mix the characters up so that like Planet Hulk has got like multiple Hulks and Captain America's thrown in there, and he's got like a battered
shield.
It sounds
like they should have just got Brainiac like to just collect everything. Throw some Dark Horse stuff in as well. I'm going to just get Brainiac to collect everything.
And then just, I just pick out like lottery balls and just like, so Planet Hulk is going to go up against Nightfall.
Yeah, there you go. Smash it together.
Yeah,
but
cool.
They actually sound quite cool. They do sound like they're going to have a lot of spin-offs, so
there's
and a
be,
lot of money
is
going to be
loads, like
invested.
The first week of DC spin-offs like is next week, and I've got like 7 of them on my list. To
how many is there, do you know?
Well, that's the first week. There's going to be 4 weeks, and then every miniseries is 2 issues long.
So much money.
Spunking the money.
Oh, but yeah. Sounds very cool.
It's pretty exciting stuff, but it's just really funny that they're doing the, like, exactly... It's exactly the same thing. It's a different set of circumstances and characters, but it's like exactly the
same
idea.
Do you think both companies like had the idea simultaneously and being like, I have got a game changer? The other question is like, I've got an idea as well. Boom. On a count of three. Say it. 3, 2, 1. Fuck.
I bet it was like,
with it anyway.
Someone in Marvel who is like best pals with DC, and they had like a drunken night out, and they both got back the next day just going like,
guys,
I had a great idea last night, by the way.
Listen to me saying that, mate.
I
wouldn't tell anybody else apart from you. You're not going to tell anybody on your side, but this is what we're doing on our side.
And they're not friends anymore.
Now they're both off millions. Yeah, that seems pretty cool.
Yeah, so a lot of news from the past couple of weeks.
Digest it.
You all digest it. Let us know what you think. We are still available to contact.
Yep. Don't all rush at once, though. I mean,
lines can get a bit jammed.
They can.
And on that note, we'll move on to the next section. Give it a ding. We've got another little treat for you here, ladies and gentlemen. Another new feature. Another one. Because we didn't come up with a debate. what we've got this week was Tommy's idea, actually. So well done, Tommy.
Right, so for shite, you blame Tommy.
Yeah, I'm the point man here. Like, I like that. You're already kind of like, it's this guy's problem.
I was actually giving you credit, but fuck it, man. Just like shit on your own idea, that's fine. So, it's called Rise and Fall, and what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at actors or film franchises, comic franchises, one each, and going to detail their rise and fall. And Tommy?
Something that started off well or brilliantly and then gradually got worse.
Aye.
From there.
Cool.
Aye.
Well, I kind of picked the Matrix trilogy franchise.
That is a great shout. Aye.
But it could also be kind of subcategorised as just the Wachowski kind of rise and fall. You've got to say the Wachowskis now, you kind of say the Wachowski brothers.
Aye, I know. Because one of them is like a woman guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
A woman guy, oh right.
Yeah, Larry Wachowski is now Lana.
Oh, okay.
Wachowski.
So. Yeah, Google it.
Cool.
She's a very attractive woman.
And that's her own right.
Of course it is.
That's Tommy's rise and fall.
Right, so it's 1999.
No, it's not. Oh, sorry.
Imagine. Use your imagination.
I'm trying. And, well done. Right.
Your mind.
The Wachowski come out with their second film. I can't remember what the first one was called. Never seen it. I think it was called Bound. Anyway. So they come out with this film, The Matrix, in 1999 and blows everybody away.
What was it called?
Have you never seen it?
The what?
Like, absolutely revolutionary piece of cinema. I take it you guys have seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah. Didn't enjoy it. No, I'm shitting you.
Serious?
No, I'm shitting. No, The Matrix was good.
It was. As you say, revolutionary. It's been used for like classroom studies, everything.
Because of the philosophical kind of elements.
Like red pill and blue pill
type of thing. What's real and what's not.
Yeah, like what's the context between this idea and that and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, so it's revolutionary, integral to cinema.
However.
The special effects side with the bullet time.
Yeah, and the whole like leaning back thing, like that was like, oh my god, how can you do that? Because he's.
And the wire stuff, they do wire stuff, but they did that in Asian cinema before that, anyway.
I always didn't like that. See, when it was like Crouching Tiger and House of Flying Daggers and stuff.
They came out after that was kind of like a mainstream.
Did it?
Oh. Crouching Tiger came out after that. That was kind of like a mainstream Americanized kind of version of the kind of the Wire stuff. But I think they were already doing the Wire stuff.
I probably were.
I think that's where they got it. Just looks they got it from. Sikowski's kind of pioneered the Wire dodgy tricks. You know.
That's it, but yeah, so you had the Matrix, which was
mind-blowing.
It was mind-blowing, and then they just went and decided to make a couple of sequels.
They made a couple of sequels, and they were 4 years later, and they both came out in the same year.
Did they?
They did.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So you had The Matrix Reloaded. It was 2003. Matrix Reloaded, which was pretty good. I enjoyed it. It ramped up the action and stuff like that. The philosophical elements became a wee bit more opaque. You didn't quite understand what was going on.
Good word.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The story was getting a bit mired, and it's kind of trying to be like really kind of intelligent and kind of.
Was it trying too hard?
It was trying too hard, I think. But they actually got ramped right up, so I was happy with it overall. And then obviously you had the.
This film's not very good. Put more guns in.
Yes. Yes. Well, Keanu Reeves is like effing Superman, like in the second one, because spoilers. 10 years later, but like because he can. He can fly and he can stop bullets and stuff like that. So I was pumped for the second one when the second one came out, and he fights like 50 Agent Smiths.
Yeah. Oh, that second one, yeah. He does that whole thing with the pole and runs round it. Mm. Aye.
Which, if you see it now, it looks fake as. It looks terrible.
Oh
my god. And then he came out with the third one, which was a massive disappointment. And they didn't even finish the story properly.
The third one, right? I went to the cinema to see this because, man, Matrix was huge when I was, like, at school, right? And I remember we went to the cinema and there was, like, actually folk, when it finished, crying. Like, guys I went to school with were like, oh my god! I remember sitting thinking, watching it, thinking, this is shite. I didn't quite get what happened. Is it the whole kind of, it's like a whole fucking, like, Jesus thing at the end, eh? He's, like, got, like, no vision and got thing around his head and he's, like, sort of, with his hands out and he's like walking. I'm like, what the fuck is what? How did it end? What happened at the end? No spoilers.
I've never seen it, but I don't really care.
Spoilers, I think we're okay for spoilers.
Man. Oh, yeah. How many years later? What was it out? 2003. So we're like 12 years later. So it's fine. Yeah.
But they start like he does get blinded. Like his real life body gets blinded.
But he can
still see. But he sees in Matrix code kind of radar sense kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's yellow. And then he fights Agent Smith in The Matrix. And Agent Smith's like thousands of Agent Smiths now because he's cloned himself that many times. But Agent Smith doesn't really, like, he doesn't want to just destroy them, he wants to destroy life. He wants to destroy everything in The Matrix and the real life and everything else.
All right.
And then Neo fights him and then Neo dies fighting him, so he's a martyr. And then The Matrix reboots itself or something like that. And then everything just kind of goes back to the same way it was before the Matrix film started. So the time, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like, everybody still remembers everything and stuff like that. It doesn't reboot and nobody remembers anything, but reboots to like basically where the film starts.
So it's kind of like a big bang, sort of cyclical, this is always going to happen. Good this word. Is the Matrix, it's always going to, another word of the day. So it's just, the Matrix is just going to keep on going in a cycle. Over and over again.
And hopefully it doesn't get as bad as that before. Hopefully things get better. It was like it was anticlimactic. Completely anticlimactic. Like
but it sets up so you can watch the three again. So then it starts again. You're like, whoa!
It's good again!
Killing Neo was like the main kind of thing about the ending. Like, and obviously he defeats Agent Smith, but it's like the Matrix is still there, so it's like
that's been done. I know it was like 2003 and whatever, man, but like, see when you have a character that you kind of care about or is like that, man, killing him off is like the way that you can instantly get people to like emotionally
react
to it. And sometimes it's just a little bit obvious. Like, Neil was never going. It was never going to. The Matrix kind of film. It was never going to end well.
Sorry, I thought you said Neil.
Neil.
Neil. Neil.
You are the one. Neil.
You are the one. Neil. Some like Tesco worker who's been chosen.
Do you think that's air you're breathing now, Neil?
Get out the bath and in the van. We're going to The Matrix. but it was never going to end. It was never going to end well. Like, it was never going to be like, oh, sunshine.
I get they killed the main character. That's cool. But it's just the way that the Matrix is still there. It's, you know, they've not saved humanity. They've saved it from Agent Smith because Agent Smith
became
that big a threat. Yeah. But it still went bad. I think they were just planning on doing more.
It sounds like it was alive
so they can go back to it and mine it for more stories and stuff.
It sounds like they were just trying to milk
it. Really. I've got the Animatrix down the stairs.
Any good?
I've never watched it.
I quite enjoyed it. Is it? But I watched it like 8 years ago, 10 years ago, or something like that. I liked it then.
I thought I'd throw that in there. I've got Animatrix.
Wee bit of info.
Wee bit of info. Cool. So yeah, I agree with the Matrix was. I didn't think it was. The first one was good, but I didn't like it anyway.
I thought it was what it was, and I don't mind it, the old Matrix, but it didn't make me want to go and see the other ones at the time. If I watched it again, maybe I would. But anyway, I'll jump onto my Rise and Fall, which is a man who used to be the benchmark of acting, and people would say like, oh, he's the best, and he's a legend,
still
and he should be in everything. Not quite. Johnny Depp. So, again, go back to like 10, 12, 13, whatever, however many years ago. You can go back to like, I don't know, mid-90s when he was starting out in his films. He was in Platoon, Edward Scissorhands.
Is he in Platoon?
According to Wikipedia, yeah. Donnie Brasco, Sleepy Hollow, From Hell, even like... You know, going up to like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, he was still so highly regarded. And I thought he actually did alright.
That film was it didn't need to get remade, man.
Didn't need to, but I thought he did quite well as
fuck the reboots.
Right?
Fuck the reboots.
This is a recurring thing. You're going to have to seek help. He still did well as portraying a different kind of Willy Wonka and blah blah etc. With the possible exception of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, since. Then he's just faded completely into not obscurity. He always seems to be there.
He's made pish films.
Like, yeah, they're pish. Yeah. Like the ones that I looked at were Sweeney Todd, which I watched and thought
that's a musical, isn't it? So
yeah, Alice in Wonderland.
Points off of that last
year. Well, I didn't mind Alice in Wonderland.
I thought it was shite, but then you know he's his own Lone Ranger and.
Well, Lone Ranger was a shit film.
That's fine.
Nobody could have saved that.
That's fine. And then he fucking made Transcendence.
I've never seen that. Oh, but wasn't that one of your...
That was shite. It was garbage.
That was one of his watchings that he actually refused to like sort of rate.
I did yeah.
You know a shit film, the first shit film I seen him in, I think, from memory, The Rum Diaries, or The Rum Diary. You ever watch that one?
I didn't see it, but it was one of those ones on the list where I knew the name, but I hadn't seen it.
It's total, like, just...
That's the other Hunter S. Thompson-inspired film, I think.
Yeah.
So he did Fear and Loathing. But
which again, is excellent. that's an excellent film.
That's pre, sort of, his downward spiral, and it's a shame, because he used to be an actor that was just, like, so... well revered and distinguished, and everybody sort of thought, oh, you know, well, maybe they should get Johnny Depp to play this person. Oh, it wouldn't be so cool if you got Johnny Depp. Oh, Johnny Depp should be in this, that, and the other thing. And it was just kind of, it's just now it's just kind of like, oh, another Johnny Depp film.
Yeah,
like that last film, like Mordecai, I think that was.
Is that on the Tashies?
Aye,
Ewan McGregor in that.
Yeah, and that's all you really need to know about it, apparently, because apparently it was god awful.
It's got Mustaches and Ewan McGregor. Good.
That's your benchmark for a good film. That's your benchmark for a good film.
If Tommy was making that film, I'd be like, more moustache, more guns.
Johnny Depp. Is it? There we go.
I remember when like Johnny Depp, it was really exciting because Johnny Depp was getting cash, but like getting announced, like the Riddler and stuff. Dark Knight Rises was getting made. Then back in the day, you were like, that'd be amazing if that happened. But yeah, he's kind of.
But that's it. I mean,
it's Pirates of the Caribbean, man. The latest Pirates of the Caribbean films, jobby.
But yeah, that's it. The latest ones, though. Yeah, I mean, maybe the first couple were, yeah, they were fun films, decent films. But like, he just seems to have. I don't know why it is. He just seems to have taken wrong choices here or there, or he's just. I don't know. Maybe I
think he's maybe like peaked in that certain age, doesn't he? Really?
Potentially,
like De Niro. Every film De Niro makes now is a bit kind of.
Oh my god, he's
like,
just.
He's showing up.
And it's a shame.
He's showing up and he's getting a paycheck, and then he's.
That's it.
It's a shame for these guys. And I was thinking about it the other day, if Johnny Depp had carried on. Like, you know, ramping up the potential and hadn't peaked, and maybe if he peaked in 2016, 2017, or like he peaked maybe a couple of years ago and he was, you know, like starting to plateau, not downward spiraling, he might have been able to do a good job as, say, an Ultron. If you're getting James Spader, who has such a sort of menacing tone in his voice, Johnny Depp could have had such a menacing tone in his voice if he'd carried on making good films, but it's just now, it's just too unrealistic to cast him as
Johnny Depp is now no longer like the first actor you think of when an important role comes up.
That's it. And
like, probably like he's low down, like, isn't he? As far as A-listers go.
I think he's up there with Eddie Murphy. I watched that Meet Dave the other day. Seen Eddie Murphy's film Meet Dave?
Nope,
it's annoying.
Wow. Just watch it. That's all I'm going to say. It is fucking shocking.
That's Johnny Depp. He's it's quite sad.
It's quite sad. He used to be the man.
Yeah, he was the man. Quite quickly, because we've got like pretty much no time. But Jurassic Park. That's what I'm saying. Jurassic Park started off as like the best film ever made. Second one was.
I quite liked it.
So did I, but I've now watched it since and yeah. Yeah. And then number three is terrible. I think number three is a terrible film, but a lot of folk liked number three before too.
Terrible.
I think terrible. And I think the new one as well is going to be a bit kind of, I'm apprehensive. I think it's going to be a wee bit jobby.
Low expectations, yeah. And I think we all agreed earlier on as well. It was the scene in the trailer where you see Chris Pratt controlling two velociraptors like dogs, and he was kind of
this is what I'm thinking. The velociraptors in the first movie were like the biggest menace. They were like the big bad guy. T-Rex was big, but the raptors were like the bad guy.
You'd crap yourself like when they did that bit with the.
And the scene in the kitchen. The scene in the kitchen when they've got the kids in the kitchen, right?
Yeah, crap.
But now they've become like the sidekick. They've now become like the Robin.
Pish.
By the looks of it, and that's turd, isn't it?
At one point, though. At one point, I don't know if you guys ever heard about this. They were thinking a while ago about making a Jurassic Park film, and they were putting ideas in their heads, and they wanted to have the genetically modified dinosaurs who would essentially have human characteristics and have guns.
Yeah, I use weapons. I've seen the artwork for that. There's some concept art out for it, and it's terrible.
The
artwork's cool, but I mean the idea is a shocker. Yeah, and if you imagine shocker. It
like terrible in a film, you'd be like, my god.
Yeah,
it would be garbage, absolute garbage. But yeah, I mean, I'm hoping Jurassic World's good, but
we're wait and see.
Yeah, it's a wait and see one.
Wait and see. So, on that cheeriest of notes,
let's give this a ding.
Let's give it a ding.
Good dingage, Tom.
Right, that's it. That's it for another week.
Enjoyed yourself?
Fucking really enjoyed myself. I might have had the best time I've had all day.
Well, that's not very hard. You need to work.
It's just might have.
I know. I did go to work. I did have some cold pizza.
Whoa.
I know. Exactly. Well, that's what I said might have. Right? So. Pizza. Anyway,
it's a fucking maniac.
I know. Well, there you go.
You enjoy yourself, Tommy?
Yes, thank you.
He spoke to me like I'm a teacher.
That was like register.
Yes, thank you. It's like when you go, good morning, mister.
Have you enjoyed yourself today? Yes. Anyway, right. So that's us done again. As ever, contact us on the old Twitter, which is @DesertWhales, Instagram @TheDesertWhales, Gmail, TheDesertWhales@gmail.com, Facebook, TheDesertWhales.
And
it is, I know. We're on social media.
Oh, yeah.
We're on social fucking media!
Look at the size of that.
So, aye. Cheers.
Bye.
Oh, shit.